Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Oh, thank you, Father, for this awesome day. Thank you for blessing us in this study today, too, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're going to call this, The Bride Will Overcome. And the first revelation we're going to say is, don't put on fleshly baggage. And this was a doubled vision. Claire Pinard, 6:10:23. I had this vision twice in a couple of days. It was so quick, I think I missed it the first time, so the Lord gave it to me again. I believe I am being used as a type for the corporate bride body in order to show that what the bride must avoid. I saw a woman with dark hair trying to make me choose a handbag to carry. Well, she must not accept anything from those submitted to darkness, which that black hair represents, as they will try to put their baggage of their flesh or demon spirits or idols on you, right? The handbag was a typical old lady handbag, small and box-shaped. It was a sling-over or carry-over handbag with many zips and compartments on the inside. Well, I think we have no need for useless baggage, for God will be there when we get there, you know. A lot of people have to be prepared for everything, right? But that's the flesh. It was leather. Well, leather often represents the flesh. The Lord sent his disciples out without a purse or a wallet. Luke 10:4, carry no purse, no wallet, no shoes, and salute no man on the way. Hebrews 12:1, therefore let us also, seeing we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, you know, when you're running a race, you pack light, right? But you know, at the end of the race, you got something there to sustain you. She first tried to make me take hold of a green handbag. I said no. Green represents the flesh, because all flesh is as grass. And it can also represent envy or jealousy. 1 Peter 1:24-25 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. Of course, the word of the Lord in us is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he is forever, right? Then she tried the same thing with a deep purple colored handbag. And again, I said no. Well, purple represents royalty or elitism, right? And we know that that's the most corrupt people in the world, and everybody's about to find that out. Then it was a dark blue handbag, and I said no. Dark blue is the color that has had the meaning of discouragement, depression, condemned or slandered, you know. Don't accept any of these demons. Amen. So that's the whole point of this. Don't accept any of these demons. I knew I didn't want one or need one of these handbags. Romans 8:1 says there is therefore, now, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The vision ended. It brought to my mind these verses, which are from Colossians 3:5-14. Put to death, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which sake which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein you also once walked, and when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man, being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Oh, praise the Lord. Where there cannot be Jew, Greek, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Praise the Lord. Christ is a unifying factor, the most and the greatest, because it unifies us into the body of Christ. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other, if any have a complaint against any. You hear a lot of complainers out there. They're usually complaining in order to put some slander on you to bring you into their web, right? Even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Ezekiel 48:31. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, 3 gates northward, the gate of Reuben, 1, and the gate of Judah, 1, and the gate of Levi, 1. All right, all the gates into the big holy city, the true holy city, right? And this next one we call deliverance for many is needed. Claire Pinar, 6:10-23. I dreamed I was in my home in South Africa, and I was preparing food for a young couple called Danielle and Pieter. Danielle is the feminine form of God is my judge, and Pieter means rock. I had my children with me and a few other women with me, but I can't remember who they were. The bride has her fruit, she says in a note here, visible wherever she goes. Amen. It's shining through, right? Danielle was fretful, tearful, emotional, and highly charged with nervous energy. She seemed to labor terribly under these emotions. Emotions need to be brought under, because under your spirit, because they will rule you, they will cause you so much trouble, and they will keep you from entering into what God has for you. My son said to her, "You can have deliverance of these feelings. Mommy can help you." Well, amen. Deliverance is the children's bread in Matthew 15:26. And he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." She looked at me questioningly, and I looked her in the eyes and said, "You can be delivered from these demons. It is not who you are, but you think it's normal. It's not normal. Now that you are in Christ." She then left to go to a city about 12 kilometers away, and we went to fetch her. We started in an armored vehicle. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Wherefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." We then went on foot when we couldn't find her easily. And Romans 10:15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things." She was being held hostage by dark men who had many weapons. Yes, we know about that. That's the wicked who are demon-possessed and work so hard for Satan to keep people from the true gospel. Mm-hmm. However, when I looked around me, I saw we had blonde men with better weapons. Well, these represent those that are submitted to the Son, S-U-N/S-O-N, who have authority over all the power of the enemy. These are the Lord's army. Amen. We started marching in a straight line, singing. Well, we know there's victory in unity and praise. Amen. This reminded me of children in a nursery school chanting songs while playing. And then the blonde men made us invisible, and they seemed to fight for us. Well, we have used this invisibility before, claiming it and seeing God do it. And the battles are won through praise. So, thank you, Father. The enemy were pretty disorganized, probably because of the praising God. You know, that really does bind up the enemy, we know, Psalm 149. We found Danielle and took her back home, and she was ready for deliverance then. Yeah, after being taken captive. Yes, we know some people like that, that are going to get their freedom from the deep state in our neck of the woods, and that is that bunch of Satanists. Okay, Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. And Matthew 18:10-14, see, ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that their angels in heavens see at all times the face of my Father who is in the heavens. How think ye, if any man come to have 100 sheep, and one of them go astray, will he not leave the 99 on the mountains, and go and seek that which goeth astray? And if he come to find it, amen, I say unto you, that he rejoiceth over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Thus it is not a thing willed before my Father who is in the heavens, that one of these little ones perish. And that's NENT version. Thank you, Lord. I asked the Lord for a word and received Psalm 94 by faith at random. Here's some verses that kind of jumped out at me, she said, regarding the dream. Verse 1. O Lord, thou God to whom vengeance belongeth, thou God to whom vengeance belongeth, shine forth. Yes, take care of them enemies that are keeping God's people in captivity and using them and abusing them. And verse 7, and they say, the Lord will not see, neither will the God of Jacob consider. And 11. Through 14, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. And let's go to 19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Amen. This brings to remembrance 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And of course, that is how we win the war against the enemy, right? And we need to cast down every thought of fear over deliverance when it is offered, lest we are kidnapped by the evil. And then it's an all-out war to bring us back from behind enemy lines. Yes, we know that. That's exactly what's happened here before. You offer them deliverance, and they don't really confess their sins or don't really repent. And then, boom, they get taken out. And behind enemy lines, and get abused by the Satanists. Matthew 11:15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Yes, indeed. Okay, we call this one Stunted Christians, and it's Claire 6:10-23. I dreamed I drove to a woman's home. Her name is Candace, and she was having a birthday party for her 13-year-old son. Well, candace means sparkling or pure, and this dream is seeing those of God's elect who are still in apostasy, but by praying in faith, they'll overcome their playpen religion. I drove my old red Volkswagen Golf and parked undercover in a shopping mall and walked the rest of the way to her home. Well, we are driven by the blood and the life of Jesus, right? That red Volkswagen. And I found it strange that it was a party for a 13-year-old because only very small children were there. Only very small children were there. So, 5 years and under. So, although physically old enough to be more mature, all of his friends and himself, because it was only them, the small ones, you know, and fellowship are not. You know, I suggest that he is spiritually the same age, spiritually. Some people look mature, but they're not. They're not mature in the Lord. It was hard to have any conversation as these children were so unruly and boisterous. Well, unruly is the same as immature. This is rebellion against the word. Maybe in ignorance because of immaturity, but it's still rebellion against the word. And when a Jewish boy turns 13, he's considered a responsible adult and the age he would have his bar mitzvah, right? Mm-hmm. So, supposed to be mature, but it's not. Somehow, I offered to clear out Candace's attic, and I placed all of her son's old toys on tables downstairs, and the parents of the small children could take the goods away with them as they left the party. So the 13-year-old is still a child because the attic represents the mind, right? The head, the mind. There was so much trash and old goods in the attic, Barbie playthings, but not Barbie dolls specifically, free McDonald's toys, and generally low-quality toys. The attic represents the mind that holds on to idols. These things are immature, and as we should grow in Christ, we must get rid of any and all idols and childish or immature thinking and walk according to the mind of Christ, which is the Word of God. And 1 Corinthians 13:11 said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child. Now that I am become a man, I have put away childish things." Put away the childish things. Grow up, right? Candace was not convinced that she wanted to get rid of this stuff. Even after much talking and deliberation on her part, she said she'd like to hold on to it for just a short while longer. Keepsakes, right? Some parents really do not want their children to grow up. They like them like that. But, you know, every child is in training to be a grown-up, and that's the way it's supposed to be. So, not wanting to give up the old man thinking, the mind of the flesh, and holding on to sin and holding on to immaturity, like the Israelites who left Egypt. Zechariah 7:11-12 says, "But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, there came great wrath from the Lord of hosts." Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I met a man there who was tall and good-looking, but older, say in his 50s. She said he represents the grace of the Jubilee year. Amen. He had a little silver goatee mustache and kind eyes. He had a five-year-old boy, child, called Bo. Bo means handsome, admirer, or sweetheart in some cases. He loved this boy with all of his life, and it showed because the child was calm, sweet, well-mannered, and lovely. He looked just like Obadiah Stewart. Well, Obadiah means worshiper of God, and a steward is a manager of a household, right? He told me how he'd met a woman while in sin, and she changed his life. She married him and bore him this son, and she was amazing. She had flown to Germany, where he did terrible things in the past, and she made a list of how she'd fix everything for him. He was so grateful to her. The woman represents wisdom, who is Christ, who will clean up our past life. Amen. It was so wonderful to hear this man's heartfelt gratitude for his new life. I then decided to leave the house and the party. And as I walked out, I stepped on dog poop, and it smelled terrible. And I would say that this probably represents a stumbling, for sure. I prayed for a way to get this poop off of my foot, and a very large pool with crystal clear water appeared in front of me. This seems to be about the same thing as cleaning up your past, right? It varied in depth from my ankles to my thighs. It seemed I was wearing shorts in the dream as my clothing did not get wet. I waded through this water all the way back to my car, and I got in and drove back to my house. I would suggest that this represents the washing of the feet, or the walk with the Word of God. We have to do it. People need to spend time in the Word to walk as He walked. If anybody says they abide in him, they're going to walk as he walked, right? At my house, the lady who had married my new 50-year-old friend was having tea with my mom. I was so pleased I was going to meet her. She was blonde and petite and just lovely. My mom asked her about her husband, and she said, "Oh, he's a blessing. He thinks I prayed so hard for him. But I didn't. It was just simple prayers that I prayed." Well, you know, that's it, isn't it? I mean, God hears these prayers. He knows your intent and everything. So, just simple prayers. But it goes on to say, "But I know they were heard." There you go. There's a lot of people just are full of hot air. They're not doing anything because you have to know you're heard. She laughed and smiled in a humble way when she said it, and I woke up. Well, that reminds me of Matthew 6 and 7. "And in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." No, it has to be faith, right? Mark 11 and 24, "Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them." Notice, this is every prayer. Do you notice? Okay. And that's the way you get your prayers heard. I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Lamentations 3 and 55. With my finger on, 55. 55 represents a double portion of grace. Also, Lamentations, or Lamb, actually, is abbreviated, is a play on Lamb, because only the lambs hear the shepherd's voice. In context, Lamentations 3, 55 through 56, "I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the lowest dungeon, and thou heardest my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry." Amen. And he won't either. He won't hide. And this one we called, "Don't Fall for Dirty Linen." And this is Claire also, 6923. I dreamed I was in a house where my son, Daniel, was trying to build a Lego tower. Well, our personal inner man child, where God is our judge, Daniel, right, is learning to take dominion and wants to be a strong tower. You know, we're all building a tower, right? By letting the name, meaning nature, character, and authority, rule him. Because Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Yes, we abide in the nature, character, and authority, which is what the word name means. And that's a safe place. However, there was an Indian lady in the house who wanted me to wash all the bedding or linen in the house with a purple dye. Well, an Indian, of course, is a foreigner to us here. And there are a lot of people in the church that are foreigners, actually. So this represents royalty in Scripture. Purple, right? The royalty have been the worst of sinners through their pride and their abundance of money, and their no sin is restrained from them, and they just go nuts. Yeah, royalty is not a good idea. I think the D-class is going to prove that in a very short time. Romans 12 and 3, for I say through the grace that was given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. Yes, that pride problem, you see. Get rid of it. I didn't want to diet. I had white bedding and linen on everything except my oldest daughter's bed. The bride resting on clean, pure word of God. Yeah, that's what that represents. On her bed was a pretty light pink cover with little flowers printed on it. If I dyed that purple, it would really be ugly. Mm-hmm. I stripped all the beds and started sorting the colors. And in my mind, in the dream, I kept on seeing dark colors that could easily be colored purple without too much effort or damage. And her note is, don't let the suggestions of demon spirits like condemnation attack your mind. However, the reality was that all my linen was white in the dream. Well, the reality is that you walk in faith and you are clean. And you are resting in clean promises, authority, and sanctification until the Lord convicts you. You know, pride cometh before the fall. The Indian woman then coaxed me to dye the actual pillows and inners of the bedding covers. I then knew this was a ridiculous suggestion. I had two bundles of white linen and bedding, and I would not be dyeing anything purple. So, the bride's rest is already clean. She keeps it clean with regular washing from the water of the Word. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. And Judges 1:21. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Jude 1:21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. Keep yourselves in the love of God. As I made this decision, my eldest daughter came into the room throwing wooden pieces of kindling around. She especially liked throwing it in the direction of the Indian woman, who was now so small I could barely see her in the dream. Well, she lost her ego, right? It got deflated. Very good. She had great joy in doing this, and her aim was spot on every time. Throwing kindling. Well, kindling is for fires, and the cross is wood, and it's wood to die on in our fiery trials. And this is the crucified life being represented here that we grow up in. And these words are wisdom, humbled, the old lady of her ego and pride, right? I opened up my Bible on Jeremiah 30 and 4, in context 4 through 10. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. And this is a crucifixion of God's people, which bears fruit in this text. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, in pain, right? And all faces are turned into paleness. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. In trouble, people turn to the Lord, right? But he shall be saved out of it. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and I will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more make him their bondman. That's kind of like going back to Egypt. The Lord told him, don't go back to Egypt ever, because that's where they were in bondage to the old man of the land, right? But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king. So here comes David, the man-child ministry, and they've gone through this trouble, and now they're ready to submit. So David their king, whom I will raise up unto them, therefore fear thou not, O Jacob my servant, says the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Oh, praise be to God. And we call this one, Praise God Up the Mountain, Tiana Fire 6:11-23. I dreamed that there was this giant mountain, but the entire area of the ground was sand, and it was windy, and there was nothing on this mountain but sand, and all was above was the sky. And I believe this is representative of Mount Zion, the bride, and the sand represents the seed of Abraham, who are going up the mountain to the heavenly places in Christ, where the throne of God is, by the way. The temple and the throne of God is there. There were many brethren on all different parts of the mountain and different levels and areas. Every person on this mountain was continuously praising and worshiping God in singing and praise and thanksgiving. Wow, that's powerful. Each one works out their own salvation, praising God through trials and tribulations as they progress up the mountain. That's right. Philippians 2:12-13 says, so then, my brethren, even as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Amen. So, now this is neat. Listen to this. If someone stopped praising God, they would start walking backwards down the mountain. Some were praying to God only, but were staying in the same spot. Well, you can hold your own just praying, but victory comes when you start praising, because that binds all of your enemies, right? When we begin to focus on ourselves or listen to the lies of Satan, like disappointment or discouragement and so on, and stop praising and thanking God for what we prayed, we start to backslide and not progress forward. Well, I can tell you, that's a fact. In fact, the mighty angels came and told us that and made a really good point out of it. Others were praising God more and more and with more of their heart. And they would keep walking up the mountain more and more. Amen. So just remember that. Don't forget it. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. The Lord loves that. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. And here we see that this praise binds the demons and their leading vessels who tried to hinder our walk up the mountain. Verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the people. So this is what praise does. Vengeance upon the nations, punishment upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Of course, this can be spiritual kings and nobles too, right? To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all of his saints. So praise ye the Lord. Yeah, you're going through fiery trials? Well, praise the Lord right on through it. Keep walking up the mountain. Psalm 96, 1 through 4. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And Psalm 34 and 18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit. That's a repentant heart, right? And, of course, praising the Lord. He is nigh, right? Continue to praise the Lord. Even though what you're going through hard things, just keep on praising. Psalm 119 and 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. And Psalm 145 and 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. The sound on the mountain was so beautiful with singing and praise, and it resembled a choir. On different parts of the mountain, the wind would blow so strongly that it could blow someone over. However, if the people kept praising with more of their soul, they became strong and could keep moving, and the wind could not move them. There you go. Strength comes through praise. In Matthew 7, 24 through 27, everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these words of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and smote upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. So take notice, you do not want to fall, right? Keep on praising God. Obey what the Lord tells you. And the NENT is this, 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of a spiritual rock that followed them. Now the rock was the Christ. Praise the Lord. Drink from the rock. Psalm 21 and 7. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he shall not be moved. In the NENT in Hebrews 12 and 28. Wherefore, receiving an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace, whereby we may offer service well-pleasing to God, with godly fear and awe. On another part of the mountain, the wind would make people's skin and lips so dry. If they complained, they would go backwards. Complaining and whining is not what the Lord wants to hear. He wants to hear faith in the midst of the trial, right? But if they kept praising, they would go forward. Job 2 and 10. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. There it is. On another part of the mountain, the people would get cold and experience other types of trials. But by ignoring all this and continuing to keep their mind, soul, and body, and mouth on Christ, they would go forward and get through this area. The further people got up the mountain, the bigger the trials would be. But it became easier as each one would praise God with all of their hearts, minds, and with their mouths. Amen. So they were overcoming with steadfastness in the truth of the word and with praise and thanksgiving to God. Philippians 3 and 12 says, Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Notice his purpose for you is for you to press on and lay hold of what he has given you. And 13, Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. This is a major tripper here, right? He tells you, forget the things which are behind, stretching forward to the things which are before. I press on towards the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You start thinking about your past, the devil will catch you up in condemnation, and you won't have any faith, and you won't make any progress, right? Philippians 4, 6 through 9. In nothing be anxious. Well, that must mean he's in control of everything. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. There you go. You're receiving what you pray for, right? Let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Yes, you must guard your thoughts. The devil can carry you away with your emotions if you don't do what he said. So, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, here it is, good advice. Whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are up, are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Think on these good things. Don't think on the bad stuff. Did you pray about the bad stuff? Well, okay, believe you have received, right? Don't look behind you, look forward, right? As I was about halfway up the mountain, somehow I got a large, deep cut on my right leg, and there was much blood, and it was very painful. I then tripped and fell 5 yards backwards and landed on my bottom. A man named Jaron held out his arm and picked me back up. Jaron means cry of rejoicing or a shout of song. Praise the Lord. Jaron had a giant, loving smile, and because he helped me back up, he encouraged me to keep praising God and continue walking up the mountain. Amen. I ignored the pain and started praising and thanking God, and I kept moving forward. I then noticed, not long after that, the wound was completely healed. Praise God. So healing can come through praising. Amen. God honors your praise. 1 Peter 1:6-9. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the proof of your faith. In the midst of the trial, you need a proof of your faith. And praising and thanking God is a proof of your faith. Verse 8. Whom not having seen you love, and on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. James 1:2-4. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. You need to be patient in your faith. Some people have faith today and it's gone tomorrow. Well, that's not what you got to endure to the end in your faith, as Jesus said, right? And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Wow. Look what patience in your faith will bring, right? So this is Tiana Fire 2:6-10:23. Judgment brings revivals and attacks. I dreamed that I was sitting in a restaurant with other brethren. The restaurant was in the middle of ocean water, and you had to walk on a boardwalk to get there. I've seen some like that. A little further out on either side of the restaurant was the beach, representing feasting on the word in the presence of the Lord. And the beach also represents those sands which are the seed of Abraham, right? The brethren and I were sitting on the large deck outside that overlooked the view of open water. We were watching all the waves coming in, probably representing tribulations coming from the wicked. The wicked are represented in the book of Revelation as waters, right? Many waters. And then suddenly we all started to see many different fish in each wave. So if you go through tribulations, that's when you start seeing these fish, right? We all started to see many different fish in each wave. The brothers got out their fishing rods to go catch the fish. Sounds very spiritual. They were so easy to catch because they were so many of them, and they could clearly see where the fish were. She says the fish represent people being drawn into the truth of the word because of tribulation and need. Yes, this is true. Yes, this is true. The waves represent tribulations and periods of judgment that come upon the world. And each of these has a purpose, to bring more people into the kingdom of God through the fear of the Lord, repentance, and revival. Isaiah 26:8-10 says, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. To thy name, even to thy memorial name, is the desire of our soul. Judgment brought them to this, right? With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee earnestly. Listen, for when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. But let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. You want 1,000 years of peace? Guess what you're going to have if you do that. God knows better than that. He knows that will not bring revival and it will not bring people to God. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal wrongfully and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Then suddenly a tin boat came from the left. That might be a bateau over here where we are. Came from the left of the restaurant. Yes, these are leftists. And there were three men in it looking like hillbillies. And they had spear guns. They started shooting at us on the deck, but they kept missing. The hillbillies, I believe, represent the factious who shoot at the righteous with witchcraft, curses, and slander. Psalm 11 and 2 says, "For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart." Yes, they do. That's all they've got to do. They don't do the gospel. They don't help anybody. They just curse people. The spear guns were giant, but very slow, so they could only hit those that were standing in the wrong place or not moving around and at the wrong time. Well, so we don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That doesn't sound like you're abiding in Christ, right? So this would be anyone in willful sin, not abiding in Christ, not walking by faith, not using the armor of God, not casting down the factious thoughts and accusations against others, or not forgiving. And, of course, they could get hit. As the men were shooting, the waves started to get much bigger and rougher, and it looked like they would hit the restaurant. The restaurant represents those who are feeding the people the word. And the factious don't feed the word. The waves against those doing the work of the kingdom are the faction and their slander and witchcraft. Their father hates the word and those who live it. And the overcomers have nothing to worry about, for they will grow through this trial, this test, right? The inside of the restaurant was very crowded, so we didn't go back there to leave in case we couldn't get out because some in there started freaking out because of the waves. Yep, some people do freak out when they get in tribulations and troubles and when the factious begin to throw their garbage at them. And this is all a test, a trial, a boot camp, if you will. And, of course, the enemy is seeking to wear out the saints through these things. The judgments come in waves that are progressively worse. And this is our boot camp, our training. But the bride is strengthening and matured as she overcomes each of them. And they get worse because you can overcome more. Every time you overcome, you build on that, you can overcome more. And the great thing is, we want to overcome it all. Some of the brethren jumped off the deck and into the ocean with me, while others stayed on the deck. And one of the brothers who jumped into the water with me was named Ty, T-Y-E, which means pasture. And it's also a play on words, as we are tied to Christ. Amen. Ty was very tall and had blonde hair and large muscles. While Ty represents being submitted to the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, as a type and a shadow. And the large muscles talk about strength, right? And, of course, the sun, Jesus, and having faith in Jesus makes us powerful. Because he was so tall and strong, we knew he was a good swimmer. So another girl and I held on to his shoulders so that he could swim us back to the shore. Well, we know that individual gifts are given to the body for strength in different tribulations. That's why you need to be a part of the body, right? And the cooperation of these will save in every circumstance. When we were almost around the corner of the restaurant, a spear hit his calf, and there was a lot of blood, but he reacted like he never even felt it. Well, the factious attack our walk and try to cause us to stumble, but we should ignore them and hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And praise God with all your heart. I pulled out the spear, and I knew as soon as we got back to shore that he would be completely healed from the wound. So don't be dismayed by the attacks. Press on. Yes, keep on going. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness which is of me, saith the Lord." We got back safely, and other brethren were able to swim safely to shore. However, I am unsure about what happened to the ones who didn't jump in the water and who stayed on the deck. Well, now here's a pretty neat one. We called it Template Placement in Christ. You know what a template is, right? It holds things in the right position, right? This is Samuel Fire, 6:4-23. "I saw an intricate and very precise template." The template, of course, is a pattern of Christ in his corporate body. "It was my entire field of view as far as the sky stretched. In the dream, it was a dark night, and then I saw this template placed from above the earth. There was a very high number of tiny holes all over the template, and they all lined over each person. But only these people were seen through these holes from above." In other words, it was coming down on these people to hold them in a position in the template. So it's designed so that every elect person will be in their place and work in the body, right? "I could see hands operating this, but not see whose hands. And I knew in my spirit instantly it was our Father, Almighty God's hands." Amen. Ephesians 1:4. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love, having foreordained us unto the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." Amen. The people were in various places in different types of lives, and all were his close, chosen, elect children. I felt that our Father was admiring his handiwork, and although I didn't see him, it was as though I was watching from his point of view. Then it was as though every one of these chosen ones were then raised to a peak and kept in a glowing golden light, with a shield like a bubble wrapping around them. So everyone is safe in their ordained position. Don't get out of your position. Stay where you're called to be. Around them in the peak were various people like families and friends that each of these people had in their lives. They were brought in close to these selected ones, but not as close to the template. I felt that was because they had a love for the Lord but didn't live the life completely. The template the Lord is looking for is Jesus, and those that become like Christ will have faith for their families to be saved too, and they will find their place in the body of Christ. It was as if all the special and elect were now on a task that had many responsibilities and duties. I saw that the Father breathed on all of them like a gentle whisper through the template holes. The ones through the template holes all agreed, as though each of them heard audibly and had worship of Him on their faces. I then felt a whisper to have my life in order, lived not for myself but for others, from Father's viewpoint. I was giving all to fulfill my role. I then asked for a verse afterwards and landed on gold, Psalm 119:127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Gold represents manifesting our place and our work in Christ by following His template plan. Amen. God, You're so awesome. We thank You for this wonderful revelation and encouragement. And we love You, and we ask You to put us all in our position and in our place, Lord, where we can be best suited to do what we need to do. It comes to us naturally in that place. Thank You, Lord, for that. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you, saints.